Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
The hindrance is in the will and in the mind. We don't let God's word fill our minds, and we will not surrender our will to say yes to the Holy Spirit of God.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about spiritual brokenness. This message was recorded at a chapel service in 2001. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, spiritual brokenness.
When I become a Christian, I am regenerated. That's regeneration. That will never change. If you read Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Impossible. In fact, I'm going to end my message this morning on Romans chapter 8 because it has the ultimate in what we are to be as believers and as broken people. When I am raptured, there will be the glorification of the body. I'm glorified, made perfect in Him. So there's regeneration. And then in the middle, there is a process of sanctification. Sanctification is the converting of the soul. The soul is made up of the mind, the will, the emotion. It is the soulish part of us that gives us the problem of conformity to Christ. It's not our regenerate state because we are in a perfect standing with God. We have within us every ounce of potential, spiritually speaking, that we will ever have because we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. God is in us. And the body simply is a cooperator. An animal has a soul and a body, but an animal does not have spirit. An animal cannot be regenerated. And so while an animal would have a soul and a spirit, an animal has a mind, an animal has a will, an animal has an emotion. But an animal does not have conviction of sin. So we are not animals. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. So what makes us different? The Holy Spirit in us has to be to control us. That's why we see in Romans that word yield. Neither yield ye your members as instruments. The body simply cooperates. It doesn't create. It simply does what the soul would tell it to do. So James chapter 1 and verse 21 talks about the converting of your soul. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. So here's an individual after 2 weeks of food, Northland food. James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, filthiness of the flesh, that which would manifest an overflowing of wickedness, and receive with meekness what? The engrafted word which is able to do what? Save your soul. James 1:21. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God for you. You say, I don't know what God's will is for me. The Bible makes very clear what God's will is for you. God's will is first a condition before it's a position. And this is the will of God for you, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. So what is sanctification? It is the converting of the soul. When James was talking to those in James chapter 1, was he speaking to regenerate people or unregenerate people? He's speaking to those who were Christians, those who had already been regenerated in their spirit. But what was going to be needed now was the converting of the soul. And how would that converting of the soul take place? By the reception of the engrafted word, which would be able to save the soul. And the agent of sanctification, the agent of cleansing, is the word of God to the mind. Let's say Romans 12, 1 and 2 together. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that ye might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what will convert the soul? The cleansing agents. The cleansing agent called the word of God. John 17, 17. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. John chapter 15 and verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Psalm 119, 9, 10, and 11. How shall a young man cleanse his way? Not talking about the spirit here, but what the body is doing based on the orders of the mind. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. What's the next verse? With my whole heart have I sought thee. Was he talking about body, regenerated spirit? No, he was talking about the totality of his mind, his will, and his emotion. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So if I am to have the Holy Spirit within me, to be able to work out through me so that I am a pattern of Christ, the soul has to be in a position where it is not stiff, hard-willed, so that the Spirit of God cannot work through. So basically, the conviction from the word that affects the will and the emotion is the recipient of a surrendered will based on the proper input from the mind. The anxiety that comes because a mind is not focused through. So basically, the conviction from the word that affects the will and the emotion is the recipient of a surrendered will based on the proper input from the mind. The anxiety that comes because a mind is not focused on the right thing and the emotion is troubled because the will has not totally surrendered. Be anxious for nothing, it says in Philippians 4, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that has to be rebuilt. The key to brokenness is the proper input to the mind and the proper surrender of the will. So I define brokenness as the shattering of my will so that my every response is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I become a pattern of conformity to Christ. What is the ultimate goal? That you might be like Christ. You are already like Christ potentially because you were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But the way for you to become like Christ in the process now, from now till the time when you see him face to face, there is a process of breaking that takes place. John chapter 12 says, except a grain of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, what does it do? It brings forth many, many more. I could take a grain of wheat and polish that grain of wheat, carry it with me, post it up here on top of the pulpit. I could have that baby shined and polished and the most attractive grain of wheat that you could ever find. But as long as I'm carrying that grain of wheat around and displaying it here and displaying it there, there is no life released from that grain of wheat. But if a grain of wheat fall in the ground and die, then what? That old shell that is holding that life within rots with the rain and the soil, and that life, the inner life, then is released so that there is a great production of more grain. That's why the entire concept of dying to self is so crucial to this process. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Most gladly will I therefore glory in the cross, that the power of Christ may rest on me. So brokenness is the shattering of my will so that my every response is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I can become a pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is the purpose of brokenness? The purpose of brokenness is to bring us to usability. The key to usefulness, I believe, is brokenness. I think the key to happiness is total surrender of the whole heart, and the two are interchanged. They're intricately involved. Now, the process that God uses in brokenness is sometimes the tough thing. God has to take us through some tough times. But for you, you who surrender and invest in the cause of Christ, it will be a forever thing. And I do pray that our nation will have wisdom. I pray for our leaders. I pray that we will be able to see God do something. But you know, God has to zero in on us that it cannot be said of us. By God, you are an offense. You're a stumbling block in why I've come. Breaking is perpetual. What breaks us? It's the little things. Little things. Well, maybe traffic jams. Maybe these things that test how we are going to react in these realms. It may be neglect from the input of the word in the mind, and God has to bring us to that point where we will have that working in our hearts and in our minds. He said, Peter, your love for me is lacking. It's a perpetual pressure that Peter faced. God was on Peter, trapped him in many different ways. You cannot rush God's breaking, but you can prolong it. Breaking is painful. Why? Sometimes because of the instrument that God chooses to use. Sometimes that instrument is another person. Maybe there's some person who comes to your mind right now and you say, I just don't have the grace to handle that person. But you know, God will keep that person there. It's an instrument that God uses. Maybe because of the cost. Maybe your reputation. Maybe it cost you some phase of ministry. Maybe it cost you dollars. Maybe it cost you health. It's painful because it deals with the real you. One of the hardest things about facing revival is that it deals with the real you. That's why we always preach, get to the I am level. The level of honesty. Maybe there's a sin problem, a sin pattern. And God's Holy Spirit has worked on you and convicted you and worked on you and convicted you. Maybe there's a pattern of lying, a pattern of deceit. Maybe there are conscience matters that are still unsettled. You can resist or yield. Maybe it's painful because it's a health problem. Maybe it's painful because it touches our bodies. And that purges our focus Godward. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. You don't know what a day brings. It's a painful thing. What has God brought in your life that's painful? Maybe you've experienced something in your childhood and you say it's too painful for me to speak of. You're sitting here today in bitterness. And rather than breaking and allowing God to do what he wanted to do through that circumstance, Though he didn't cause it, he will use it. You have fought and resisted, and in your anger against God, you have hindered the working of God from changing you and conforming you into what he wants you to be. Maybe it's a family circumstance. Maybe it's a father leaving home. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's abuse. Whatever it is, there's been some painful thing, and you say, God, why have you treated me like this? It's painful. But then, last of all, and we close, it's profitable. Hebrews chapter 12 says, don't resist when God brings in these trials into your life, but he is wanting you to be conformed to the image of Christ. It is profitable. Yet, even though it is a hurtful thing, and even though it is a painful thing, yet it will be profitable for you when you see God's ultimate plan and what he is planning for you. And he said, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. And then it says, no chastening for the present seems joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. There is a profit in God bringing, breaking. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. We'll close with some thoughts from Romans chapter 8. Verses that are often quoted that are put into context of suffering. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, but we need to consider who can claim this promise. God has his purpose in what he allows in us, and when he allows us in the soulish part of us to be touched, when he allows our mind, our will, and emotion to be tested and tried to see what is going to be the result. Are we going to surrender or harden our will? What is going to be the product of that? Verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, what is God's purpose in allowing these breaking things to come into our life? These are for those who love God and for those who are called according to his purpose. What is that purpose? The ultimate purpose is that you might be conformed to Christ. You've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. But where is this purpose revealed? Look in Romans chapter 8, the greatest chapter on security for the believer in the Bible. We see in the middle of this chapter, suffering, pressures that come along. Romans 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. And the last section says, there is no separation from God. You could not be more secure. God says, there is no condemnation to you. And not only that, there is no separation for you as believers. And what a blessed place of security for those of you who know Christ as Savior. Why then should I not be secure? It says, for those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I think one thing that hinders our security is self-condemnation. The sin patterns that cling in the life. And the second thing that I think that steals assurance and trust in God is suffering. So not only self-condemnation turns your mind from absolute trust, but self-grief because of suffering that comes in. God is dealing with both of these areas. Two things I put, thieves of assurance and thieves of our resting in Christ. Because we begin to walk after the things of the flesh and we don't understand why is God allowing suffering? Why does he allow things to come into the life of the believer? Let me tell you, there's nothing more lonely than being in the grip of suffering. Satan hammers your mind and plays with your mind. What are these purposes? And I'll tie these back in with brokenness and we're done. Twofold purpose. That we might be conformed to the image of his Son. And secondly, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Look there in Romans chapter 8. So now we see who he did predestinate, he called. Who he called, he justified. Who he justified, he glorified. God's clear working in our lives. And he says that we might be predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. So there's ultimate conformity. That's what I was saying. God, we are indwelt by the Spirit, so we know the potential of conformity is not the problem because the Holy Spirit is in us. Where is the hindrance? The hindrance is in the will and in the mind. We don't let God's Word fill our minds, and we will not surrender our will to say yes to the Holy Spirit of God. That's where brokenness is lacking, because I will harden my will. If you read Psalm chapter 40, verses 7 through 10, and we find the exact quotation in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. He said, I delight to do thy will, Psalm 40, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. What did it say? I delight to do thy will, O God. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 7, 8, 9, that is quoted again. I delight to do thy will, O God. And we put that in conjunction with Philippians chapter 2, right here in the soulish part. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You have the mind of Christ that must be manifested in our inner being. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. So humility is described. What is humility? Think others first, serve others first, sacrifice for others first, in order that God might be glorified. That's Philippians chapter 2, definition of humility. I think others first, serve others first, sacrifice for others first, in order that God might be glorified. That's humility. That's the ultimate demonstration of conformity to Christ. Because we are to have the mind in us that was in Christ Jesus. And what was his mind? The mind that delighted to do the will of God. But if we are commanded to look at the Son, he said, look at my Son, and I will make you like him, and my will be your delight. And then the second purpose is that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That did not mean the first conceived. It means the first in position. So what's the purpose for God bringing us to a point of suffering and brokenness? In order that we will be among those, because Christ became the first of many who would be like him. A perfect expression of love within the Trinity. What could God the Father give the Son? God the Father could give the Son a people just like him who would praise him and worship him for eternity. It's called the Bride of Christ. What could the Son give the Father? Perfect obedience. And I wish I had time to develop this. I'll have to speak again in the next week or two on this topic because I don't want this to get away. I want this to sink in so deeply that we begin to realize what God allows in our lives and what he brings into our lives is to bring us to conformity that we might be like the person of Christ. But it is impossible without suffering. If you don't believe that, Hebrews 4 and Hebrews chapter 5, Christ, the perfect pattern, the high priest, learned obedience through what he suffered. Hebrews chapter 4, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We don't have a high priest who is untouched by these things. And if we are going to be like him, who is the first among many who would be like him, the things that God brings our life to break us are impossible to escape. Some of you said, well, I think I can pray enough and I can work enough and I think I can stay in good enough relationship with God that I believe I can have all of that and not suffer. That's impossible. If I am going to be like him, suffering is a very, very crucial part of that. And you know what? It is never God's intention that we get an easy ride. It's never God's intention. So if you're here hurting, if you're here saying, I just don't know what to do, and you hear this term broken, as God has to break you, you have to become broken, it's simply the surrendering of my will so that every response from here out is controlled by the indwelling Holy Spirit. It is basically the filling of the Holy Spirit. It is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but we have this treasure where? In earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The rich people would melt down their gold and silver and pour it into these earthen vessels. And before that inner glory could be revealed, that vessel had to be broken from the outside. That clay pot had to be broken from the outside. We have this treasure, the truth of the gospel, in this clay vessel. So God has to work through that clay vessel, but he has to work through us by his Spirit's power. So I must be filled with the Spirit. I'm regenerated. I must be filled. And then I will be glorified. We who are God's servants serve the King of Kings and serve the Lord of Lords. But how are we going to be usable? With the mind of Christ. Not my will, but thy will be done. Here is the key to brokenness, the total surrendering. That I do not have a will of my own. I only have the mind of Christ manifested in me.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala speaking on spiritual brokenness. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.